The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Listen again, anytime, 24/7. Visit our podcast page at LarryMarino.com. Sunday morning, newsmakers, AM 870, The Answer.
Well, this past Tuesday was Super Tuesday, and after that, former New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg left the Democratic race for president. Alabama Senator Doug Jones reacted to his departure and Bloomberg's support for former VP Joe Biden.
You know, when a candidate like Joe Biden can win both Texas and Alabama as well as Massachusetts, that says an awful lot about his ability to bring people together from all walks of life, all races, all religions. And I think Mike Bloomberg recognizes that.
On Wednesday, Bloomberg said in a statement that his priority in the campaign was to defeat President Trump. He said he's happy to support former Vice President Joe Biden. Jim Ellis joins us from Ellis Insight. He was with us on election night, and now we get some perspective as we look back and look ahead. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us for Sunday Morning Newsmakers. Good to have you on.
Well, thank you again for having me, Larry. Things keep changing so fast. As we went through election night, it looked like we might be headed for a three-way race. We have to see how Bloomberg could rebound. And then all of a sudden, he's out of the race, too. And now it looks like Biden's headed for the nomination.
All right, so take this for a second. I mean, Biden is not without his gaffes. Even on election night, we played a little clip in which he got confused to his wife, sister. They'd switched. He's got some liabilities going into this, doesn't he?
No question. It's going to be an interesting race when it finally begins to develop. And we'll see. In fact, we already saw President Trump starting to lay the groundwork for that last night in some comments and some tweets that he was making, particularly relating to Biden being up to the job. And he's going to bring in the same old Washington crowd to run the country because he's not up to it. And as the president said, he'll be in a home by that point, so he'll be turning it over to all these has-beens and cronies of the past, in his words.
So explain what happened. Is this essentially the Democratic Party seizing control of its party because it was slipping away toward Bernie Sanders and the way, way progressive socialist, or how would you describe what went down?
Yes, I think partially that's the case. I think maybe the better story is the Democratic base voter just isn't ready to move that far to the left. And, you know, and the talk about Joe Biden being a moderate, he really isn't. I mean, he's had a very liberal record his entire career, and he is Washington, D.C., so I think that's going to be the parameters of the general election. Is he moderate in relation to Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? Yes. But is he moderate based on the whole political spectrum, the American political spectrum? Really, no.
Yeah. After Super Tuesday, the very next day, the Dow opened. The numbers that day were going up. Wall Street business, obviously looking at a Biden as a safer bet for business when you've got Bernie's campaign wrapped around the idea of Wall Street. We got to stop Wall Street. I mean, so how about that?
Well, I think that's their perception. I'm not sure it's reality because think of this, what may happen now. So let's say we head into the general election. Let's say Biden ends up winning. If he does, he's likely to keep the House in Democratic hands. I think if they win the presidency, they keep the House. And then the Senate becomes in play. And if they're able to win that even by one vote, all it takes is a majority to change the rules. They'll remove the filibuster, as they're actually publicly proposing to do now. And, you know, then Bernie Sanders and the crowd will be actually in charge there in the Senate to drive through their agenda. And we may very well get a lot of what Bernie Sanders wants, even through a Biden presidency.
Now, what is the practical chances of a Biden presidency? There are some who say a strong economy. Donald Trump, well, for the most part, has gotten a lot of paychecks better. If that holds and a few other things going on, he could retain it. And also the states that Biden won Super Tuesday weren't necessarily states that Democrats will win on election night. Your thought?
Yes, and it's also important to note, too, that he only received a majority of the vote in two states, Alabama and Virginia. The rest of them, he was basically at about a third. So the media always loves to play this as a win or loss. It's a black and white. It really wasn't that way. I mean, the key thing is it's a battle for delegates. Now, with everybody dropping out, of course, it became that way. But he was really placing first in these primaries, not necessarily winning. I'm not sure winning is the right word there. He did place first, and I thought his performance there in New England was probably the crowning glory, where he was able to place first in Massachusetts, barely in Maine, and he did qualify for delegates, even in Sanders' home state of Vermont. So all of that combined, yeah, it was an impressive night there. And he performed in the South the way the polls projected. I mean, he was always expected to do well, if not dominate, in the South, and he did that.
One of the side stories this past week was California and its new rules for voting and the delayed results, and certification could take weeks. What about that? There's some folks who think that, you know, we're kind of an instant meal, Pop-Tart, put it in the toaster and get our results thing. What about that? Is our elections moving away from have them all together, count them up, and get your winner to this protracted thing? And is that good or bad?
Yes, it does seem that way. Texas is doing something similar. They created a whole new website at the Secretary of State, replacing the one that worked really well. And they had a lot of problems similar to California, too. And there's still a lot of votes to count in Texas. Yeah, we do seem to be moving towards a more complicated system, and it gets worse. And I think it's very bad. There's no in this day and age of technology, it should not take weeks to count an election when they used to be able to do it decades ago overnight.
Yeah. The other part is the so-called zombie voters, that there is this push toward thinking, oh, let's mail everybody their ballot. We get early ballots out there. People can get it done and mail them in. Well, as we learned, that when you do that and then you have some people drop out of the race, you end up voting for people who have no chance. You're throwing your vote away. What do you think
right
on that?
Yes, I think that's a big flaw in the early voting. I think it's gotten too early. A lot of states like California have a month of early voting. 38 states have some form of it. But I think that what you pointed out is a major flaw. And that was a great example of what just happened this week with people dropping out right before the election. And how does that change things? It changed things a great deal, because Biden clearly did get a role after South Carolina, and the late deciding voters did break his way quite heavily. That was clear. But it didn't happen in California, because there was over 2 million votes already cast.
And if you mailed yours in before South Carolina and the boost he got, you'd have thought, I don't know, Biden's on life support. You're not going to get vote for him. I mean, that would be a wasted vote. And so people who voted for another candidate, maybe a Buttigieg, right, or even a Bloomberg,
right,
have put their money in something that can't win.
Yes.
All right. Final minute together. Let's talk about a very different thing. I'm going to throw this at you. There's a lawmaker here in California who's proposing that voting be mandatory or else. He's not setting out the punishment, but he wants to treat it kind of like the jury system, where you have an obligation to serve, that we have an obligation to vote. We would all automatically be registered, and it would be the law to vote. What you vote is your choice. You could leave the ballot blank, but there ought to be that civic duty. Your thoughts about that?
No, I think that's ridiculous. Not voting is also a statement, and that really is a part of free speech. If you choose not to vote, that's certainly your right. So I think that's ridiculous. So we certainly don't need government forcing people to vote. I think they do that in some countries that are not necessarily friendly to the U.S.
Right.
But I think our system's doing fine right now, and we're seeing a period of very high turnouts in these elections, and I think it's very healthy.
Yeah. And those countries that you're referring to, those are the ones where you always hear the voting results that voting has taken place. We've had 100% participation, and I won by 100%. So,
yeah, such as North Korea, for example, right?
Right. Kind of the North Korea system. You get great participation, but, well, there's the sidebar on that. Ellis, Insight, tell us what that is.
Well, it's my service that I have for various clients, mostly in the Washington, D.C. area. Pretty much anybody that needs to tell somebody else about what's happening in the political world. And so I write a daily column and also do podcasts and work that my subscribers can then use to inform their own client base or members, as it might be, for a political action committee.
Final minute together. Walk us through what's ahead. Another round of voting coming up, a few more elections over the next few months, right?
Yes, we've got, and again, the real key day, as always, I thought, been March 17th, but that may almost be moot now. As we head to Tuesday, March 10th, we'll see six states voting, Michigan being the largest of the six, and then we'll go to March 17th, where we've got a pretty big night with Arizona, Illinois, Florida, and Ohio, and that will lock in 61% of the Democratic first ballot. But really, by that point, I think it may be moot. We're now evolving into a two-way race. Sanders is still close enough where he could make a play on the delegates, but the momentum is clearly against him. So he's going to have to do some fast turning around here to right the ship and get back in the game.
And what might that be if he were to get some strategy? Is he too far to the left? Does he need to moderate some of his views?
Well, I don't think he'll do that, but where he really needs, he must win Michigan now on Tuesday. I think that becomes a must win for him. He should win in Washington, and you know, he does pretty well in a lot of the Republican states in the West. Like he won Utah last night. He needs to win Idaho. So those are three on next Tuesday. Michigan, of course, being the most important. Missouri, Biden looks good there. Mississippi, Biden would look good there. And North Dakota, that would be another one where not too many delegates, but Sanders would need to win there. So Sanders really needs to rebound those four of those six states.
And for Bernie Sanders,
to have any chance, I think.
And for Bernie Sanders supporters, do they get it? Do they understand what socialism is? Or do you think they just like free things? Do we have any measurement on what attracts people to Bernie?
I'm not sure about that, but I think a fair number of his supporters really are believers. We'll see what the turnout's like in those states. You know, you could have a situation where there's a little bit of a lower turnout because the Biden people think it's all over. And, you know, if Sanders can rebound, as I said, in those states, then he might be back in the game.
Jim Ellis, EllisInsight.com, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate your wisdom and insight.
Thank you so much, Larry.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.
Up next, the Barack Lurie Show, hosted by attorney Barack Lurie. The very popular Barack Lurie Show is filled with stimulating conversation and a fresh point of view on politics, religion, and the law. Next on AM 870, The Answer.
AM 870, The Answer.